Blog Talk Radio.
This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Friday, July the 2nd. Happy 4th of July to all of you as we get our weekend off. Tonight we're going to be chatting with our good friend George Rodriguez from South Texas. We've got a couple of topics that we're going to discuss tonight. The first one is President Trump in Texas. He was just here last week with the governor down at the wall and talking a little politics with the governor. You know, there are some interesting endorsements that President Trump could make down here in Texas, particularly the primary for Attorney General. So there's a lot of interest in what could happen there. And then our second topic is going to be the Supreme Court making a very important decision about the Arizona voting law that I think will have an impact on the Texas voting law when that happens next week. So let me say hello to our good friend from South Texas, George Rodriguez. Hello, George.
How you doing, my man?
Doing great. And as we always do when we start these shows, these podcasts, how's the weather in San Antonio?
It is hot and humid. We expect a wet weekend. We expect a wet 4th of July, 60% chance for rain on Sunday on the 4th, and then the 5th we are supposed to also have about a 40% chance. But it is very hot, it is very humid, and it's going to be a little muggy.
Yeah, it sounds like Texas in July. Like Texas a little bit in July, the weather.
What's been strange is the amount of rain that we've had. I mean, the humidity is not new because we always have a lot of humidity. However, what is new is that we are having rain because quite often we have, the humidity, but we don't have the rain, which is very, very strange. But now we've got the rain and the humidity. In fact, a lot of people have been suffering from their allergies because of the mold that is extremely prevalent.
Now, is just out of curiosity, because we're not that humid up here in Texas. I mean, in Dallas, we get extremely warm. I mean, we get 90s and 100, but we don't get excessive humidity usually, although there are days when we do. But is that because San Antonio is closer to the Gulf? Is that the reason for the humidity, George?
Oh, yeah. We get that Gulf breeze. Mm. We're 140 miles from the Gulf.
Okay.
And whenever the breeze starts coming in strong, it reaches us very, very easily. The other thing, a very strange thing, is, and I'm not sure that it's the Nina or the Nino or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
but we've also been getting a lot of Pacific. Weather over the mountains of Mexico, coming over the mountains of Mexico, which lifts the clouds even further, and then makes for more rain.
Wow!
So,
well,
it's been very, very interesting. It's been very, very interesting.
A little geography lesson there from our friend George. You know, the mountains of Mexico and El Niño, La Niña. You know, in these woke times, I'm not sure we can assume that El Niño is El Niño and La Niña is La Niña. They may have a gender. I don't know. They may reconsider. Yeah, they might reconsider their gender. Well, interesting. It's in the 90s here, but it was a little humid today, though. When I went out for my walk, it was humid. It was very humid. I had to bring some extra water because it was really, really, really. Really very humid. All right, George, we got a lot to get into. But before we do, though, I do want to ask you about July the 4th. You know, normally I think a lot of us celebrate July the 4th with some kind of a family activity or maybe a 10-day parade or something. But this year, I think a lot of people like me, we really want to make a point that it's an important holiday that we want to celebrate, George. Because I feel like, you know, this year we got to make a point that we're proud of the flag. So I hope that everybody out there who celebrates July 4th remembers what this day means. It's not just a day off. It's an important date in the history of a great country, George.
I agree. I think that because of the outrageous comments that have occurred over the past few weeks, mm-hmm. past few months, regarding the disrespect for the flag, the disrespect for the country, the whole issue of critical race theory,
mm-hmm.
and criticizing the founders of the nation, I think that it's given added emphasis to those of us that want to celebrate the nation's founding, the nation's founder, our independence. I think it's given us a lot more emphasis. I know I, where I usually have only one American flag out in the front, today I posted a second one.
Right.
And I am very, very proud of my country. I'm very, very proud of its history, and I'm going to celebrate it.
Well, I think you're doing the right thing, and we will too. And you know, anybody listening, make sure you know that this is the year that I think we have to make a statement, because there have been so many bad things and ugly things said about the founding fathers and the history of the country that I think we have to make a statement this year and celebrate the 4th of July. Well, let's get into our big topic this week, or one of our two big topics. President Trump came down to the border. He met with the governor. They talked about the situation on the border. I actually think, George, looking at it from up here, that it turned out to be a pretty good visit by President Trump, and it turned out to be a good idea by Governor Abbott, who obviously is benefiting politically from the crisis on the border, George.
I agree. The number of people that showed up in McAllen and Edinburgh for this event, I mean, there were Trump flags everywhere. They estimate that well over 50,000 people showed up in the Rio Grande Valley in those two communities last Wednesday. It was a very, very celebratory feeling. People were honking horns and
mm-hmm.
smiling and waving at each other. We did not see, I didn't see any counter protesters. There was a lot of emphasis regarding the border, since that was what Trump came to talk about. There was also a special taping of the Hannity show in Edinburgh at a hangar that I got to attend, and the worst thing about that were the mosquitoes that were in
yeah,
there. Oh my
right.
gosh!
Yes,
but, it was a great event. I think that definitely the governor profited from being seen with the former president.
Mm-hmm.
There was also a contingency of about 10 or 12 congressmen that were there as
yeah.
well.
I noticed that. Did any congressmen, because at one point President Trump said something about Representative Jim Jordan. Were there other congressmen from other parts of the country that came?
Well, yeah. Yes, there was a bunch of them. There were several of them from other parts of the country. I mean, it was a who's who.
Wow. Yeah, that was an interesting event. Now, the two senators were there, I would assume. Senator Cornyn and Senator Cruz were there, right? Although I didn't see them.
I did not see them. Senator Cornyn. I did not see him. Ted Cruz was there.
Okay, I think, did we lose George? Yeah, did we lose George? I don't know if we did or not, but... I think we did. I think we lost George. Hopefully he can maybe come back to us here in a second. But I tell you what we're going to do. We usually take a break anyway pretty shortly. Let me take a little break here, and we'll take just a little break, and we'll try to get George on the line again. And I'm gonna play a little song for you here, a little bit of a filler, as they like to say in the business. And we'll just listen to these songs a little bit, and then we'll try to get George on the line. I don't know what happened. He just kind of fell off a little bit. So we're going to get a little music and enjoy this little piano piece, and we'll try to come back with George after this. Yes, we're going to try to get George back here in a minute. I think he's reaching me on another line. I think we've got him on the line. So let's. That musical piece is actually one of my favorite musical pieces, and I have it here for situations like this when we lose somebody on the air like we just did with George. George, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, good. Good to hear that, my friend. I don't know what happened there, but I think you must have said something bad and
yes,
and the woke. I think
Mark,
the woke.
Mark Zuckerberg got mad.
Yeah, you said something that the woke just didn't like, and they took you off the air. But while we were trying to get you back, I played. I always have this little musical piece about 2 minutes long in case my good friend George gets disconnected. You know, so I always have it here ready to go, and it's a cute little musical piece by the great Cuban composer Ernesto Lecuona, one of my father's favorite composers. Anyway, we were talking as we got disconnected. I think I had said something about these congressmen who were there, and you were saying that Senator Cornyn was there, and then I asked you about Senator Cruz, and I think that's when we got disconnected. I didn't see Senator Cruz. Was he there?
No, I didn't see him either. I didn't see him at all.
Yeah, I didn't see him at all, which was kind of surprising. Now, one of the, besides the issue itself of the border, George, one of the controversies is that the president said he may make an endorsement for the attorney general position, which I hope he doesn't, actually. I hope he gives this primary maybe at least another 6 months, because I think right now a endorsement by President Trump could end up being more controversial than it needs to be, George.
Well, yeah, and I think that, you know, I think that there's a lot of folks worried about, you know, the party politics in Texas and how mm-hmm. they're going to play out, and who's, you know, who's on first, who's on second, who's going to be.
Right, exactly.
You know, and I think that the battle is going to be within the Republican Party. I definitely don't think that given the situation at the border or the situation at the gasoline pump, that the Democrats are going to be really, really of any consequence this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, absolutely, because what you have is it's a three-way race right now, basically, or at least three big names have announced. The Attorney General, George Bush, who's actually, he's the land commissioner right now, right? He's the land commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
And Sylvia Guzman, who's a former Supreme Court justice here in Texas. I actually think all three are pretty good candidates, George. I think what it's all going to come down to, I don't think Sylvia Guzman is going to be able to compete to the runoff. I really don't.
Yeah.
And I think she'll go off. She'll be the first one eliminated, and it'll come down to Bush. It'll be between Bush and the Attorney General. That's what I think it'll be, George.
Yeah. The name recognition is it's going to be tough for her to overcome.
Right. Well, not only that, you're right about that. Although she's a very talented lady, I had the opportunity. I had her in one of my podcasts, about 5 or 6 years ago. She ran for something back then, I think. And I had her on the podcast. And she's a very nice lady, a very smart lady, very well educated. And I think in a different political year, she might just be a perfect candidate for that position. But I think right now with Bush and the Attorney General, Attorney General Paxton and Mr. Bush, I just don't think Sylvia Guzman is going to have the money to compete in all these media markets in Texas. That's my feeling. So I think even though she's a very nice lady and will probably get a lot of votes, I just don't think she can compete with the other two guys, George.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's going to be very, very difficult for her to do it.
You know, people forget that Texas has, you know, sometimes people don't realize, even people in Texas don't realize that you have Houston and Dallas and San Antonio, three top 10 television markets in the United States. And then on the other hand, you have, you know, a pretty big market in Austin, El Paso. So you need a lot of money to run a TV campaign in Texas, and I just don't think she's going to put together the kind of budget. Unless now, if one of the other two makes a big mistake, then it's a different ball game, George.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's quite often, you know, anybody, Beto, for example, Beto and his advisors when he was running for governor, suddenly recognize that Texas is a lot bigger than what they really thought. And,
You mean when he ran for the Senate, when the first time?
Yeah, when he ran for the Senate.
Yeah, when he ran for the Senate, yeah.
Just, it was a big surprise to them. And they spent a ton of money, but, ultimately they didn't penetrate the market like they wanted to, not that his message would have helped anyway.
Right. Well, that was, of course, he was defeated in the rural areas. I mean, he did well in the cities, but when he got out to the rural areas, his campaign just didn't go anywhere, and that's what got Cruz reelected. But now let me ask you a question about the border itself or the border wall. You and I spoke a few weeks ago when the governor made the announcement, and I said something then that the Democrats were going to try to use the courts to go after the governor's decision to build the wall. They were going to say that, you know, this is a federal issue and so on and so on. George, are you surprised that the Democrats have not done anything in the courts to stop the governor? I mean, I am. I don't know if maybe there's nothing they can do, George.
Well, no. I mean, I know behind the scenes they are moving on it. I know that they're trying to. However, it's going to be very, very difficult because this is such a popular situation. And while legally they may be able to throw a monkey wrench temporarily into it, politically I think that they have to reconsider it because if they come out against the wall, how is that going to look?
Yeah. Well, you know, it seems to me, George, and you have a better view of this than anybody, it seems to me that this whole issue of what's happening on the border does not go down traditional party lines. When you have Henry Cuellar down in South Texas criticizing President Biden's policies, when you have all these sheriffs that I just heard today that some sheriffs in on the border are going to be suing the Biden administration for not enforcing the law. You may be familiar with that. So, I mean, like I'm sitting here saying, this is not a Democrat-Republican. This doesn't cut Democrat-Republican as maybe as much as they think, George.
Well, again, you know, I think it does. I think it does here in Texas, South Texas. It really mm-hmm. does. I mean, it may not appear that way to you, but it really does. I mean, there is just no two ways around it. The Republican Party is the local Republican Party at the grassroots level, particularly the Trump people, are really making hay about the Democrats. Mm-hmm. And Henry, the reason that Henry Cuellar, the Congressman Henry Cuellar, is really desperately trying to appear to play in the middle is because he sees the hounds at his heels. There's no getting around it that this is playing badly for the local Democrats. There's just no way around it. And
Maybe I didn't say it correctly, but in a way I agree with you. Meaning that what I was trying to say is that this is an issue that where I think you're seeing. Maybe I should have said it this way, George. That this is an issue where you're seeing a divide within the Democrat Party. That if you are a Democrat, let's say a liberal Democrat up here in Dallas or in Houston, you may see the border wall as racist or whatever. But if you're a Democrat on the border and you have to live with all of this every single day, then it doesn't look quite as racist, if I could put it that way. It looks more like something very rational that you do to protect your areas. I mean, I hear from people down there that, you know, they wake up at 3:00 in the morning, somebody knocking on their door, and some lady with a couple of kids is knocking on their door. She needs water. She, you know, she's got a couple of kids. She's been thrown on some highway by the cartels or the people moving them. You see people walking through your backyard at night, you know, people, you know, who are being brought over here by criminal elements. So the wall is totally different. I mean, it just looks totally different down there, George, than it does, let's say, in Austin or even San Antonio. I mean, I know you're closer to the border than we are, but a lot of these liberals, they live in a fantasy world of immigration that's not the world that the people on the border are living, George.
That's exactly right. They really don't understand the level of frustration, the level of anxiety, the level of fear that's being felt down here. They really have no idea.
Yeah, and that's what I was trying to say when I was talking about that this is an issue that doesn't cut traditional party ways. That's what I was talking about, that on this issue, I think the Republicans are bringing over Democrats. It's just happened in McAllen, where a Republican was elected mayor. I mean, has that happened before, George? Do you recall that in McAllen?
Long time ago.
Long time ago. Okay. Well, that's what I figured.
In several generations.
Let me put it this way. It has not happened since I lived in Texas since 1984. Okay. So it has not happened in 37 years that I've been in Texas. And that whole region down there was heavily blue. Now, they're not liberal blue, but they're more conservative blue, but they're Democrats. That's my point.
Yeah, right. And
they've always voted.
You know, two counties went red. That was a big one. So it's, you know, I mean, there is big change in the wind. And the local Democrats are very worried about it.
Well, they should be. They should be worried about it.
Yes,
because
after Kamala's visit.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that is, again, that's an amazing contrast, you know, between her visit to the El Paso airport and President Trump literally standing next to the wall. I mean, that's the contrast is pretty pretty incredible. Let's move on to the Arizona Supreme Court decision. This was a consequential decision. You know, the court from time to time will will issue these decisions that are pretty important. I think this one was. Because what the court is saying, I think the translation, correct me if I'm wrong, George, but the translation is the state can figure out its own election rules, and if you think it's racist, you're going to have to prove it. You can't just say it's racist just because you say it is. And in Arizona, they were able to really put an end to harvesting, vote harvesting or ballot harvesting, which is a real problem. And that, I think, George, I'd like to hear your opinion about this, but I think that Arizona Supreme Court decision, I think, makes it almost impossible for Democrats to challenge the Texas law, because they're going to have to prove that Hispanics are not voting because of the law. That's going to be difficult to prove when you show McAllen, Texas, Arlington up here, Fort Worth, the 6th District. You know, districts and areas that had Hispanic population where Republicans won easily, George.
Well, that's the whole problem, is that they're alleging racial ethnic discrimination when in reality people that are racially and ethnic minorities are winning. So if you're going to say that it's politically discriminatory and Democrats might lose, well, you know, that's a different story. But in this case, you can't say that it's racist because, the fact of the matter is that virtually all of the urban areas, all of the major urban areas are controlled by minorities, ethnic and racial minorities. I mean, for crying out loud, San Antonio has a 6-4 city council it is 6-3 or 7-3, excuse me, 7-3 Hispanic dominated city council. So how can you say that that's discriminatory in that aspect of it when you're asking for the same, when the state is asking for those same, nothing is going to change. I mean, it's asking for this basically the same thing, other than someone else can't pick up your votes and someone else can't, that you're going to need to make a couple of changes as to how you deliver it. What was very, very telling to me, was Biden's comment that he was upset because now it's going to affect who counts the ballots. Now, that is an exact same comment that Stalin made once upon a time.
Okay.
Stalin actually said that it's not who votes, it's who counts the votes.
Mm-hmm.
These people really, really, the mask falls off of their face.
Right.
When they're really trying to make a statement, the masks sometimes fall off their faces, and it's there's nothing wrong with what was decided by the court. Absolutely nothing wrong.
No, it was 6-3 decision. This one came down. This was the 6-3 decision that I think many of us were hoping for. This is the way that we had hoped that the court would line up on some of these conservative decisions. I mean, they also had another big decision, 6-3. That doesn't affect Texas directly, but it was out of California, where nonprofits had to reveal the name of their donors, which is, of course, an invasion of your privacy. I mean, if you donate money to any organization, you can maintain the privacy of your name. A lot of people do it for protection. They don't do it for ideology.
Exactly.
You know, they just don't want a bunch of people showing up in front of their home.
Well, look at what Joaquin Castro did with the Trump supporters here in San Antonio. When he found out who they were, he called for a boycott against them. I mean, What is that all
about?
How
did that work out, by the way? The businesses that were boycotted, did any of them I think it backfired on Castro. That's my.
Well, it was a political a PR backfire, a PR nightmare for him. But unfortunately, there was a Republican that had a good chance of beating him, and at the last moment, he was accused voter tampering, or some of his people were accused of voter tampering, and then later on they found out that it was somebody completely independent of his campaign, but then it was too late, and it was very, very sad that we could not beat him when we had an opportunity.
Yeah, one of the things that the Arizona Supreme Court decision does, or the Supreme Court decision about Arizona, to be correct, one of the things that it does, I think it really breaks the back of the challenge against Georgia that the Biden administration wants to do. And I think it makes it very difficult for Democrats here to challenge our voting law when it gets signed. So I think that's, they're going to talk about it, obviously, and it's going to be an issue that they use. But as a practical matter, they've lost big time, George, because of this Supreme Court decision.
Yeah. They have I was listening to the governor of Georgia accurately describing how he feels that the Justice Department under Biden has been weaponized. The Civil Rights Division has been weaponized. And I've got to agree with him. Now, I feel that it's been weaponized since the 1970s. When I worked at the Justice Department under Reagan, one of the biggest headaches that we had was trying to keep some of these civil rights attorneys under control, because they wanted to accuse people or states of civil rights violations and then force them to prove themselves innocent. That is completely outrageous. That is completely outrageous. But that's the mentality. In the EEOC and the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department, in fact, every single major division or major agency, major federal agency, from HHS to Department of Transportation, all have a Civil Rights Division, and all of them have the attitude that you've got to prove that you're innocent, because once they accuse you of being guilty, You've got to prove it, and they love to pick on the South. States in the South are historically the ones that really, really they love to pick on.
Right. Well, and of course, this goes back, I guess, to a time when there was discrimination of blacks. But I think somebody made the point the other day that what's happening is that many of these Democrats are living in a country, or they're still mentally living in 1949 Mississippi or something like that.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Whereas right now, of course, we're living in 2021 Mississippi, which is a totally different place.
Yep.
Yes, I agree that in 1949 there was segregation, and I'm sure that there was a campaign I'm sure all of that was true. Nobody denies that. But tremendous progress has been made, and for anybody to tell me today that a black person is restricted from voting, or Hispanic, they don't know what the heck they're talking about. The problem here in Texas, George, is that Hispanics are voting Republican. They're not voting Democrat. That's what the problem is.
And if there was a way to file a civil rights lawsuit about that, they would do it.
Right. Well, they would. They would, but it's not going to get anywhere, because they're going to have to prove – after this Supreme Court decision, they're going to have to prove with real numbers. They're going to have to show real numbers and say, look, here's evidence that Hispanics are not being allowed to vote. But then you counter that by saying, but wait a minute, these Hispanics over here had no trouble voting. I was on Univision here a couple of weeks ago talking about this Texas voting law. And the reporter asked me about the law and what challenges it had. And I said, look, I don't know of a single Hispanic Republican who has ever complained about voting. I don't know of a single Republican in Texas, Hispanic Republican, who said publicly or said, they don't let me vote because I'm a Hispanic. On the contrary, Hispanic Republicans are voting in huge numbers. Huge numbers. And the problem is on the other side, George, that for whatever reason, Hispanic Democrats are not voting. And I think a lot of it is the party and their message. I really believe the Democrat Party and their message, George.
You think?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to bet on that one. I'll bet you a cup of coffee on that one.
You know, it would be good if they accepted that responsibility, but they won't. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Well, one last thing here before we go to celebrate our July 4th. There was a very interesting article, and I think I sent you this, on Roll Call, that website out of Washington, D.C. It used to be a magazine, but now it's all virtual. And somebody wrote a story saying that there's a real disconnect between the party and Hispanics, or the party message is way more to the left than the Hispanic themselves.
Yep.
And I think that's true. That's very, very true. And so but they don't know how to cope with that. I think that many of these Democrats don't know how to say that to themselves or change to have a message that is more appealing, George.
Yeah, it is amazing to me that they don't have the ability or the honesty to look at themselves and check it out. I mean, you know, look at how they are turning around and blaming Republicans for the law and order breakdown that we've got in the urban area.
It's
just outrageous. It's crazy. It's so delusional. That's the only word you can use, delusional.
I mean, you have to be delusional to believe that explanation that they're making, that somehow it was Republican budget cuts that had people invading buildings and destroying black Americans' property or Hispanic Americans. I mean, one of the stories that never gets reported, George, about all that violence that we saw on television is that most of those businesses that were being burned down and destroyed were actually minority businesses.
That's right.
And, you know, there's a story out of Austin. We didn't see as much damage here in Texas, but there were a couple of incidents. And in Austin, there was a couple from Pakistan that had one of these businesses, service businesses, I guess gas station and the other stuff that they sell in there. I can't think of service station, I guess is the word for it. And this couple from Pakistan had built that business, had done a great job with the business. Their kids had worked in the business and all of that. And then the whole thing was burned down. So these are not white capitalists. These are minority immigrants who came here and built the business. They had the American dream, and who destroyed it? They did, George, which is remarkable.
It is. It's outrageous. It is ridiculous. I mean, these people, and because they believe in social justice, they are not going to prosecute these characters.
Right. Yeah, that's the other thing. That's the other thing. You know, if you don't prosecute people who walk out of stores with computers and television sets and dresses and liquor, if you don't prosecute them, they're probably going to do it again.
Yeah, right, exactly.
They're probably going to do it again. George, have a wonderful July 4th. As always, thank you so much for your input and the information. And just let us know what's going on down there. We follow you on your website or your page. Are you doing any speeches here the next couple of weeks?
No, I am. I'm not till mid-July. Then I go to Medina County. But mostly I'm just going to be working. I'm working on my second book.
Oh, great. Wonderful. So is this going to be a book about politics, George?
No kidding.
Yeah, I thought that would be a good book. I didn't think you were going to do a book about San Antonio weather. All right, George, have a wonderful weekend. As always, we're grateful to you for your time, and happy 4th of July to you and all your family.
Thank you very much. You have a good one. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Our good friend George Rodriguez, we call him our South Texas conservative. He's down there, and, of course, he has a pretty good eye on what's happening down there. But I think it was a very successful visit by President Trump, no question about it. And keep an eye on those Hispanics on the border. I think the Democrats are killing their chances with them with all this mess on the border. A very happy 4th of July to everybody. And as I mentioned before, this is a good year to celebrate and put the flag out and let everybody know that you're not woke, that you're a patriotic American, very proud of your country. Good night, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.